Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, folks. This is Carl, and we are going to do our Bible study. Just getting myself together here and getting ready. It is 3 o'clock Eastern Daylight Savings Time, and we're going to go to 4:30. And we're going to start back in the book of Judges, where we left off last week. We left off at verse 15. We'll start with 16. In fact, I will actually begin at 15 to bring you up to the just to the context of where we're going to go. And remember, the book of Judges is a very sad book. It's a book of the people of Israel who in 450 years basically go through like 9 apostasies, which means total rebellion against God, and they pay for it dearly. They pay for it spiritually. They pay for it as far as losing people. Remember, in one battle, they lost 4,000, and then they lost 30,000. And they also went through 7 servitudes, which means not only did spiritually they wreck themselves and physically, but servitude means they go under slavery 7 different times. And this went on for generations, and God would keep giving them judges, which are, I heard a definition today of an apostle. It's a person, whether it's correct or not, I don't know. I just heard it on a Christian radio program this morning. It's someone who is appointed by God to tell the people what God wants the people to know. Not anybody's opinion, what God says, period. And they went through 10 of these. The last judge, where we're going to culminate, was Samuel. And remember, after Samuel, they finally, in 1 Samuel, we see where when Samuel was dying, the people says to Samuel, we no longer want God as our king, which was called a theocracy, which Israel was. They now wanted their own king. They wanted a man to rule over them. That was the beginning of disaster for not only for Israel, but where I see the church today currently. We want people to rule over us rather than what we want to depend just on the word of God. You've got so many commentaries, so many arguments about the translations of the Bible, so many debates, so many vitriolic statements about the debates from Calvinism, the debates of Arminianism against Calvinism. And then I get into some folks that I don't even understand a bit, and they use different definitions of different isms and all, and I don't even know if they're referring to. But it's chaotic. You know, you think of it, the Bible is the inspired word of God. Every word was inspired by the Holy Spirit, New Testament, Old Testament. And that's 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16, and 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. You can choose to believe it or not. Then we get into debating about commentaries, and then we get into debating about spiritual gifts. Folks, we have got to turn. Is this country ever going to wake up to 2 Chronicles 7:14, where it says, and speaking about the moral healing of the country, not only moral healing, but healing in every respect, industrially, economically, happiness. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their sin. Just think of that. If just his people called by his name, It's impossible not to understand in today's society that he's talking about those people who are Christians. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will heal from heaven. I will forgive their sin. And here's the issue. I will heal their land. When are we in this world of so-called Christianity today going to realize, don't look for a savior from a political party? As I've said numerous times since 1964, when I was first able to vote in New York City at 21 years old, I voted. I've never missed an election unless I'm physically impossible or I don't know, whatever. I don't intend to miss them, even midterms, local. But folks, politics is not the answer. If just his people who are called by his name, where I'm going with this, if we don't change, the condition this nation is in is the most morally cesspool statement that I have ever seen the church in my 80 years on this planet. And the nation is likewise. The nation goes right along the pulse of the church. Remember, God said he'll heal their nation, their land. If what? If his people who are called by his name will humble themselves and pray, seek his face, turn from my sin, from their sin. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Now let me read you what 19 says. And this is the mistake that people in Israel kept making, I think, for 450 years, if my chronological idea is correct. I say if because I'm not one for yearly statistics or when books are written. But listen to this. And this is what we can see happening in the nation today because the nation has gone haywire morally. Everybody listen to me. Think of what your parents or grandparents, for the younger people, your grandparents, the people that are my area of age, 70, 80 years old, your parents. If you were to tell them what this nation and what this country and what the churches today are allowing, they would not believe it. And here's the issue. Remember, God promises in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, just them, would change their ways and confess their sin, seek my face, pray, and humble themselves. But if you turn away, which is what the churches have done, folks, forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, you will go and serve other gods and worship them. This is exactly what is happening in the country today. Can we not say it? Two major, major denominations yesterday. I am in this organization, Gideon's, where we exist to hand out scripture. And there is, I'll mention it. It's not secretive. It's all over the place. There is a Methodist church. One of the Gideons are in, and he asks us to pray for them. Now, I'm not saying every Methodist church, but this one, and it's not a small church. They are in the brink of total breakup because a portion of the people in the church, including the pastor and the church board, wants to marry two people of the same gender. They want to have practicing homosexuals and lesbians and or approve of them being in the ministry. Just think of that. You look at the horror that's going on Hold on just a minute. Are you there?
I'm here, Carl.
No problem.
Sorry I'm running late. I've had a rough week.
Don't worry about it. No problem. Couldn't have been any worse than my screw-up last Wednesday night, so. I mean, as far as participation or whatever.
Right, but I understand.
Where I am with this, Raven, is I in the Gideons yesterday.
Uh-huh.
A major Methodist church in mm-hmm. our town, our confines, is about
yes.
ready to dissolve because the church leadership, the church board, and the pastor
mm-hmm.
and the assistant pastor and the elders, along with the Methodist denomination,
yes.
a particular branch of Methodism, are demanding
mm-hmm.
that the church marry two people of the same gender and that they will that they install a lesbian or a practicing homosexual in the ministry. And this church, this man is almost crying in this Gideon meeting because his denomination is very important to him, maybe a little more than a denomination should, but it is.
Right,
and
right.
then we bring to remembrance, folks, 3 years ago, and this is history because I was involved. Not involved. I've never been a member of a Baptist denomination, but three pastors that I knew that were credible people split from the Southern Baptist Convention, even though they still pastor and Baptist church and hold to the fundamentals of the Baptist denomination. Were splitting from the Southern Baptist denomination because they had a practicing homosexual lead the Southern Baptist Convention that's held yearly, and that was, I believe, 3 years ago. Where I'm at with this, Raven, is the healing of the nation. The healing of the nation. We're in the pits as far as the nation. The same reason they were in Second Chronicles. The same reason they were in the Book of Judges, and we're in Book of Judges.
Yeah,
but we're going through, folks. The country, the community, the nation, whatever you want to call it. When we go to the Book of Judges, the reason in 450 years they went through 9 apostasies, 10 judges. I believe was the number. And then they went
mm-hmm.
through 7 servitudes, which means slavery, is because the church has fallen asleep at the wheel. Not only fallen asleep at the wheel, but when they woke up, they are now practicing the things that are the most antithetical to Christianity there are. And then we wonder why the nation is a mess. Now, I read the Second Chronicles 7:14. Let me read 7 Chronicles 7:19. If you turn away and forsake my statutes and commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, this is what he's telling the church and the land. I will pluck them up by the roots of my land, which I have given them, and this house. This house is his house, his church, which I have sanctified for my name. I will cast them out of my sight and make it a proverb and a byword among all the nations. Do you not see? Do we not see? And how long is it going to take a core of biblical Christians to come together and say, the problem with this country is not politicians. The crookedness of politicians and corruptness in Washington, I could see it as a college student back in the early 1960s. It's only grown by exponential proportion since. But, folks, the problem is because the church has preceded the nation in turning from God. Now we'll take all that, we'll go to the Book of Judges, and we're going to go through. And we're going to go through at least 5 chapters of Judges in selected places, and we're going to see where they went through this for 450 years. why is this country going to persist? I can't understand it. But that God's got it under control. Now, Raven, why don't you go ahead and pray and we'll get rolling.
All right. Heavenly Father, as we go through the trials and tribulations that we seem to be going through in our country and indeed in the world, protect us as Christians, Lord. May the Holy Spirit put a hedge of protection around us. Hold us in your arms, Lord. Continue to show us that we must constantly come to you and only you, to your word, to you in prayer, Lord, because when we try to go to man for answers, we come up completely empty, completely empty. It is only through you and through your advice, through your knowledge, through your word, that we can get the answers that we truly need. Man's wisdom leaves us with nothing. But if we come back to you, Lord, and we follow you only, if we stay in your will, then we truly will be in 1 Corinthians 7:14. That's the only way that anything can be healed. Father, we repent of all of our own will. We repent of our own choices. We repent, Lord, of trying to stay in walking in the flesh. And we ask, Lord, that you continually allow us to go through the trials that we need to go through so that we will turn back to you because we know that it is for our good. We love you and we thank you for the trials that we go through, Lord, because they do bring us back to you. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, let's go to Judges chapter 2. We're going to read 10 through 14, which will set the stage. Now, this is after Joshua died, and the people were rebelling against God, and they went through 9 apostasies over a period of like 450 years. And God kept appointing judges. So what we're going to see, we're going to read 10 through 14, and we're going to see how after these people had it very good, they were obeying God. God protected them. He defeated the enemy in the promised land. They were in a land of milk and honey. There were enemies there, but he was, if they went in and possessed the land like he told them to do, he would defeat the enemies. But let's see what started to happen. And this happened 9 times over 450 years. Read 10 through 14.
All right. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel, evil in the sight of the Lord, and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So he delivered them into the hands of plunderers who despoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around so that they could no longer stand before their enemies.
Now realize this nation of Israel, it not only included the church at that time, the believers, but it was the land. But the point of the matter is the church always precedes, the behavior of the nation is always preceded by the behavior of the church. Now, I'm going to just take us on a little detour to give you what worship. Now, did you notice where it said, where she read in verse 10, and all the generations that were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord.
Yes.
That is the beginning of the problem, folks, and I was alive in that period, although very young. I was born in 1943, and I really think that post-World War II, when everything started to get better, I really saw, even as even in going to high school and as a college student in the early 60s, I saw the church that I belonged to starting to relax, starting to say recant on many of their beliefs, their doctrine. I did not ever in my life understand, because I never read the Bible. I was religious, but no Bible. But I saw these things happening. Do you see where this is not something that you walk down the street one day on one side of the street and immediately you cross the street? No, this is a decadence that sets in. You see that in verse 10 of Judges 2. Now, I want you, Raven, I want you to do something, and I'm not here again to, this program is not called How Great Raven Is. Go to chapter 4 of Joshua, and I want you to read 20 through 24. Folks, this is where we dropped the ball, and I lived through the period when we were dropping the ball in the churches. I was 30, and when I was 20, I was 23 years away from ever reading the Bible. I did not understand it. But when everything was still I like Ike, and everybody trusted politicians, and they trusted the police, and there was respect for each other, the church was already, the one I belonged to, I could see worldwide, they were compromising their values and changing and relaxing. And here's the solution, folks, because it's a slow decline. It could take 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. But here is what the people didn't do, and I am positive in this lukewarm church today, as a group, we're not doing it, but maybe you could do like Raven does, and I know this for certain. That's why I'm bringing this up. And that is do what we're going to read here in 20 through 24, because this is the only solution. We've got to pass this sincerity and this belief and this confidence and this discipline that God gives us. We got to pass it on to the younger people. Now, I just happen to know from talking to Raven a lot that this is priority with not only our children but our grandchildren. So just read this. Because, and I picked it intentionally because I know you're very heavy on this. Go ahead. Joshua 4:20-24. This is the solution
20 through 24.
Where we dropped
okay.
the ball in my lifetime.
And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, when he dried up before us until we had crossed. Which he had dried up before us until we had crossed, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Amen.
Do you see that? Now go back to verse 10 of Judges 2. One generation, and it began to die. My generation, born in 43, that's when the churches started to relax. Go back in history.
Yes.
What we're not doing, and I didn't do as a parent, is teach the children what God has done, We have dropped the ball in this country. They dropped the ball in Israel. They did it for 450 years, 9 different times. Now, I look at some things with you as highlights. This is one of them I've noticed about you all the time I've known you as a Christian, you know, and you and I never knew each other as not Christians, but this is predominant on you with your grandchildren, is to everything you do is to point out something in faith. This is, folks, this is how you can prevent it in your household. You may not be able to turn the condition of the United States and the apostate Laodicean church. You may have no effect on that, but God will honor individual people. You have your grandkids that are asking you questions of why you do things, and you're answering them. And I'm not doing this, Raven, to make you feel good. This is where individually we can help this country. One step at a time, one person at a time, but where most of us don't do it. I did not do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've got to take this seriously because this country is in a cesspool, and it's because the churches are a cesspool.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Now let's
go
back to Judges. Do you want to add anything to that?
No, I think that it's important, you know.
It's beyond important, beyond important.
It's so necessary that when our children.
I want to know the ages of your grandchildren, the ages of them, and do you see anything sticking with them when you say it, even if they just stare at you for a while?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. It's like, even though they don't quite get it yet, they let me give the one that's
Raven,
that's here.
Raven,
yeah.
Raven, I'm 80 years old, and I'm just getting it. They're 70 years ahead of me.
Right, right. Let me give an example. My granddaughter, who...
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah,
that's what I'm asking you for.
Yeah, I have a granddaughter who I see at least 4 days a week. All right, so I see her at least 4 days a week, and for a different number of hours a day, whatever. And so she's always asking me, and I've noticed it's sort of like because she just doesn't get it, you know. She wants to get it. She wants to get it. And so she'll say to me, "Are you happy, Gammy?" And that's what she calls me. She calls me Gammy. And I'll say, "Yeah, I'm happy." And she'll say, "Are you really?" And I say, "Yes." And she'll say, "Why? Why are you happy? I don't understand." And I'll tell her, "Well, you know, it's not happiness in the way that you understand." And I tell her the same thing over and over again because she keeps asking me because she doesn't understand it. And I tell her the same thing. I tell her, I said, "It's not happiness the way you understand happiness. It's joy. It's joy because I have God and because he takes care of me." And she'll say, "But you hurt all the time, Gammy."
Hold on, Raven. The thing I understand the other people don't understand is why is she questioning if you're happy? But you're getting to it now. You're in constant pain. Okay.
Yeah, I'm in constant pain, and we'll go and even, you know, I'll go and do some things with her or whatever, and then, you know, my pain is worse, but I go and do it because it brings her joy. It brings her happiness, right? And I spent, the reason I was a little late today is because I went and did some things for my daughter this week. She was moving, and I helped her move. Now, I couldn't do the things that, you know, most people would do in helping move, but, you know, I drove my car and she put some things in it, and I sat at her house and you know, like opened boxes and went through some things. And I did a couple things that I probably shouldn't have done, but that's why I'm in even more pain today. But, you know, but I still was helpful to her, you know. And so my granddaughter knew I was going to be in even a lot more pain for a few days. And just because I did more than I should have done. And so she knew this and she expected it. And, you know, and my daughter doesn't yet get, and that's another long story, but she doesn't yet get, you know, that, you know, there's a lot of pain here involved. And she said, Gammy, I just, you know, and she'll say, Gammy, I don't understand. And I just tell her, you know, God comforts me. You know, God gives me comfort that you don't understand yet. But someday when you know God like I know God, he will give you the joy and the happiness and the contentment and the love that he gives to me. And I will tell her, you don't understand it yet because you don't know God. And I even asked her one day, I just bluntly asked her, you know, I said, do you believe in God? And she said, I don't know. And I told her, I said, that's okay. That's okay right now because you're trying to understand. You're listening to Gammy and you're learning. And I said, and I will keep telling you about God. And so I spent a little time with her that day, you know, explaining to her how, you know, we know that God exists just by seeing all the things that he has made and how we know that he has created us, you know. And I talked about Genesis a little bit, you know, and how he created the world. But see, I ask these questions and I use them to open up discussions with her. And I don't ever say to her, you know, well, that's awful that you don't believe in him. I would never judge her like that. I use them. I use those questions and I use these things to say, well, this is how we know. And I quietly and gently explain to her about God and talk to her about him and talk to her about his love and how he loves me and how he wants a relationship with her. And he wants to make her, he wants to give her the same joy that I have. And she's going through a lot of troubles with her mom. Her mom is single. You know, she's not married and, you know, and my granddaughter is very sad a lot. You know, she's going through some things, you know, because her mom is going through things. And I just talked to her about how, you know, God wants her mom to have a relationship with him and wants her to have a relationship with him and how he wants to make their lives better. And, you know, and I don't push it. I don't, you know, try to force anything on her, but I just talk to her very quietly and gently and tell her how wonderful God is and how she can have the same joy and love from him that I have. And you know, and I don't talk to her for, you know, half hour, an hour at a time, but, you know, I'll just talk to her for 5 or 10 minutes and then I'll let it go. And she'll ask me again, you know, sometimes 15 minutes later, sometimes an hour later, sometimes 8 hours later, sometimes not till the next day. And I'll just let her, you know, bring it up, or sometimes it'll just come up in a conversation. But I'm
right,
very careful about it.
Hold on. The point I want to get to is you are put stones in the water.
Yes.
And you're doing what they did not do in the book of Joshua that he told them to do. We are not taking the time. Well, maybe we're too busy. Maybe we're so, because right now with a computer, anybody in the business world can work 24 hours a day, literally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Maybe we're too busy. I don't know what the problem is, folks, but that's why I had Raven tell the story of what she's doing with her grandchild. This is the only way for future generations to avert the horrendousness we're seeing in Judges chapter 2. You don't want your kids yeah. and grandkids to go through this hell on earth.
Right. If you have grandchildren, I cannot say enough how I know my grandmother, when I was little, talked about God to me and read the Bible to me and prayed with me. If you have grandchildren, spend time with them talking about God. If you have children, make sure that they spend time with Bible-believing, God-fearing grandparents. You know, just let them spend time alone with them, you know, and ask your parents to talk to your children about God. You know, I mean, this is more important than anything else in their lives.
Yes, yes.
More important than anything in their lives. And spend time, you know, taking walks with them and talking about God, you know, and do whatever you can to bring God into the conversation, in you know, talk about the joy that he gives you. Talk about how, you know, she'll bring up death. She'll bring up dying, you know, and I'll tell her, I'm not afraid to die because I have God. I have God. You know, she asked me about my father who died not too long ago in January. And I'll tell her, I know I'm going to see him again someday. You know, I mean, we talk about all kinds of things. Don't be afraid to talk carefully, but, you know, but openly with your grandchildren. It's an important thing.
Well,
you know,
important. Hold on. We're seeing in the book of Joshua that it is the only way that you're going to prevent the United States and the church from going through the horrible period we're going through now, which happened in Judges. That's why I'm reading this book of Judges, folks. I want you to see that this is going on right now. It's not a history lesson.
That's right.
The decadence the decadence the nation is in is because the church had been decadent, because since I could see the evidence of it in the early 60s of the churches starting to compromise then. And look where the nation is morally today. I don't care if you're an atheist. The morality of the country is beyond what you'd ever dream of. Now, I want you to go back to Judges 2. Yeah.
I just was going to say, I believe the Methodist Church was the church that started the Great Revival, was it not?
Yes, yes.
Here in this country, and now look what's happening.
No, you're right. Now look what's happening, and it's the denomination. Let me throw this in. And I said to the man, why can't someone just in the church leadership? And he said, the leadership is for it. And I said, what?
Yeah.
He said, yes. And I said, why can't someone else step up and say we're not going there? Here is the $64,000 answer.
Yeah.
The denomination is cutting us off financially. If we do not do it, it will be the end of the church.
There it is, right there.
Raven?
You should have said this. You should have said the $64 million answer.
Hold on. You read in here about verse 13. You read in verse 13, they forsook the Lord and they served Baal and Asherah.
Yes.
That's exactly what the church is doing. You want to not play ball? You don't want pastors who are gay and homosexual? You don't want marriage between same gender? That's fine. We'll cut your money off. And this church is big enough, Raven. They need a bundle of bucks. They need... In 2 weeks' time, they make more money than I bring in a whole year.
Yeah.
That's their budget. That's their budget. But you see where they forsake the Lord? Don't we see in this country, folks, a connection of the people of God turning away from God? Now, what can we do individually? That's why I had Raven tell her story. Individually, folks, you can do what you can do by helping people and showing them why you believe what you believe, put stones in the water. How do you do that? Take every advantage you can to get into a conversation with a person and tell them, don't criticize them, don't judge them, don't condemn them. Start off by telling them who this God is. Here we had a 10-year-old girl that is honest and she doesn't even know if she believes in a God. Start, folks, do something. Because I'm going to tell you, this country is not going to survive. We're going to go into a deadly civil war or be taken over by we're going to be taken over by the country who financially owns us if we don't wake up.
Yeah.
Now, having said all this, let's study in this repetitive thing in Judges. The reason we're going to read so much in Judges, it was a repeat. They do it for 15 years. They'd scream and repent. God would heal the nation. God would heal them. He would restore them. That lasted 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and then right back again because the people who were now living in the land of milk and honey did not do what Raven was telling about her granddaughter. They did not pass on to the younger generation. And in one or two generations, we've collapsed. Now, let's go ahead and pick up and read. And after all this, start with 16 of Judges 2 and go down go down to 18.
Yes.
After all
then
that
Lord,
God did.
Yes. Then the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they would not listen to their judges. Yes.
Think of this.
Yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do so. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them.
Now,
and it came
right
to pass.
There.
Okay.
Now, hold on. We'll stop at 18.
Okay.
If you read 16 again, nevertheless, meaning in view of chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, where they
mm-hmm.
forsook the Lord and served Baal and Asherah, and then the anger of the Lord was against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of the enemy. Nevertheless, God has mercy. He raised up judges which delivered them out of the hands. Now, the problem is, in 450 years, they rebelled as they did in verse 13 and 14 happened 9 different times. They never did catch on in 450 years, generation after generation.
Yeah.
You see the repeat of history here. My point is not to teach you history because I was horrible and have no interest in it, unfortunately. The point of the matter is, folks, this when are we going to learn our mistakes? This country is almost to the point where some intelligent people think that we're beyond help. The reason being is there is one major nation that owns much of the United States industry and land.
Yeah.
And they own much of us because of our national debt is to these people. I'm not saying to give up. I don't want you to think that I'm painting a picture, let's just curl up and die. Even if the nation is not salvageable, and that's not for me to judge, your individual family and members and people are. Do what God has put you here to do because God always shows his mercy. Look at that verse 16. Nevertheless, no matter how bad these people are repetitively, God will extend mercy to those who would take it.
Exactly.
So God kept raising up judges, and the Lord was with the judges and delivered them out of all the hand of their enemies all the days of the judges. She just read that in verse 18. But what was the outcome of this nation of Israel eventually? What was the outcome? Go to 1 Samuel chapter 8. In view of all these deliverances God gave them, I want you to read 1 Samuel 8, and I want you to read verse 6.
Okay. Whoops. Just lost my
page.
Hold on.
This is after 450 years of God listening to their crying for mercy and giving them mercy and restoring them 9 different times. The 10th judge, Samuel. Listen to what they told Samuel.
But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." So Samuel prayed to the Lord.
Okay, go to 19.
Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, "No, but we will have a king over us."
Okay, you can do this for 450 years, folks. You could push God's mercy for so long. Read 22, and you can see where these people just signed their own death warrant.
So the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed their voice and make them a king." And Samuel said to the men of Israel, "Every man go to his city."
Samuel gave up because God said, "That's it." How much longer, folks, in the United States are we going to push this envelope?
Yes.
All right, let's go back to Judges and read 19, 20, and 21. In fact, read 19 through 23, which is the end of chapter 2.
Okay.
Please.
And it came to pass, and it came to pass when the judge was dead that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods.
Every time.
Yes.
They not only repeat the rebellion, but they get worse. That's just what's happening in the United States, folks. And it's happening because the churches are having it happen first.
Yes. Let's see, where was I? And behave more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings nor from their stubborn way.
And remember, Raven, as you read this, they're getting progressively worse. It ended up where they told Samuel, "We don't want God anymore as a ruler. We want a judge." God, after 450 years, says, "Let them have it." And just think of the judges that they've had in Israel, the dictators, the men to rule over them. Go ahead.
Yes.
20.
Then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, "Because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and has not heeded my voice, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died."
Does you see what we're facing in the United States, folks? And in Christian churches, sermons are constant and talking about politics and who you got to vote for. And folks, the answer is the morality of the church. It always has been. It always will be. Go ahead.
Yes. "So that through them I may test Israel, whether they will keep the ways of the Lord, to walk in them as their fathers kept them, or not. Therefore, the Lord left those nations without driving them out immediately, nor did he deliver them into the hand of Joshua."
You see again, folks, even though in Israel the religion and the national politics was the same thing as it is in the Middle East today with Islam and the religion of Islam is basically the religion and the nation. Even though with Israel, the people still, their spiritual tone determines the success or failure of the nation.
Yes.
I don't know how we cannot understand. I don't know how we can't say it. I can understand someone saying, Carl, I don't care. I paid my dues. I'm going to get my pound of flesh. That's your choice. But how we can't paint this picture. How these churches that are fighting, as I heard yesterday, and being threatened by the head of the little section of that denomination, they're going to cut their money off. How they don't see what we're doing to this country, I don't understand. But let's continue with Chapter 3 of Judges.
Okay.
Let's say the first four.
Okay. Now, these are the nations which the Lord left, that he might test Israel by them. That is, all who had not known any of the wars in Canaan.
Raven?
Yes.
When he says he's going to test them, these are the nations he hasn't defeated that he's going to let clean their clock.
Yes.
Because if you read the end of 2, what you read there, I'll henceforth not drive them out before them, the nations which Joshua left when he died. He's now saying, I'm going to let these other countries that hate you, I'm going to let them have their way with you. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. This was only so that the generations of the children of Israel might be taught to know war, at least those who had not formerly known it.
Okay.
Namely, five lords of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, and the Hivites who dwelt on Mount Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon to the entrance of Hamath. And
these
they were left.
These are all the enemies that God promised to defeat if they would follow him. They've proven they don't want to do it anymore, so read 4.
And they were left that he might test Israel by them to know whether they would obey the commandment of the Lord, which he had commanded their fathers by the way of Israel.
Put this country into verse 4 and 3. I would say it's obvious that the church is definitely not obeying God. We have turned on God.
Yes.
So we're going to live among the Canaanites. You want to live among your enemies? You're going to do it. You want to not have God be your king? You want a man to be ruler over you? You've got it, folks. We're doing it. I think even at 80 years old, I may see another form of government come into this country and rule it.
Yes.
Again, there is a particular group of people, a very large nation, that owns, I read the other day, 360,000 acres, supposedly. No, 360,000. Whether that's right or wrong, I don't know. They own major food processing companies. The national debt, they own most of our national debt. You don't think that this could happen to this country? Why? Because the churches have been asleep at the wheel. And nobody, what are we arguing about? We're arguing whether we're going to marry two women and two men in the Christian churches.
Yes.
Again, it's obvious. What can you do to change the world, the nation? I don't know what you can do, but you can do it individually and start. We've got to take this Second Chronicles 7:14 that it begins with me. And I've changed my attitude. I was one who would always look and think, why aren't people getting this? But I have to look. I've changed recently where I'm taking the warnings of the Bible, if these are written to me.
Yeah.
All right. Now, we're going to go through in this Judges chapter 3. You can go ahead and read, let's say, 5 through 7.
All right. You know, Carl, there's a Christian song. I wish I could tell you exactly what it is right now, but
I wouldn't know it.
It's about, you know, how people are saying, you know, why aren't you doing, you know, anything, you know, for the Christian church or whatever? And the guy says, you know, stop saying, why aren't you? And you know, basically say, you know, say, why aren't I, you know, why aren't
that's
I
right.
doing
okay.
anything?
Yeah, that's exactly it. We've got to take
yeah.
this personally.
Yeah, exactly. Stop pointing. And it's just like, you know, stop pointing at the splinter in everybody else's eyes and take the beam out of your own, you know, and this
you
is what we need to do.
You, folks, 'cause anybody
yeah.
is realizing that this country is going to hell, literally.
Yes,
morally.
Exactly. Literally. Yes, absolutely. Literally. That's correct. I mean, we are in such depths of depravity right now, Carl, that it should make every single one of us sick to our stomach every day.
But it doesn't, Raven. Be Raven, people you know still talk daily
yes.
about the fact that we've got to get good politicians in the country. No, we don't. We've got to get Christians
no.
like you and I who turn back to God and forsake our sins, who seek his face, who pray.
You know what? If we pray, if we turn back to God, if we as a church, as the church, do what we're, and I'm not talking local churches, I'm saying we,
no,
as the church,
yeah.
yep,
the
do
church.
What we're supposed to do, God will take care of who's in charge.
That's
He'll
exactly
take care
what
of that.
It says. But,
yes.
okay, now, Raven, let's go to where we are so far. Turn to 2 Chronicles 7 and read 19 and 20.
Yeah.
This is where
okay.
we are because we have not done verse 14.
Yes, 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 perfect. Yes. Then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as I covenanted
you
with your
say,
with
wait,
David,
did
your
you
father.
Just, did you just say I was perfect? Go ahead, read.
Well, let me tell you, it's
on,
interesting
no,
you
got,
say
I
that.
Got,
I'm not going to say you're
I got,
perfect.
I got what I was shooting for. So,
well,
I was
not perfect, not perfect, but God does give you His perfect word to
oh,
give. You know.
That. Again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I put the bait
exactly.
out there. You bit for it, but go ahead.
Then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as I covenanted with David, your father, saying, you shall never fail to have a man as ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land, which I have given them. And this house which I have sanctified for my name, I will cast out of my sight and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. Isn't that what
that
we've
means,
become?
That means that we're gone, folks.
But isn't that what we've become, Carl?
Oh,
we
absolutely.
Have become.
Like I say, Raven, I don't know how people can read these things and not take it personally. This is you and I.
We've become a proverb among other nations at this point. Other nations are looking at us and talking about us and saying, what
yes.
has happened to the United
You're
States?
Right.
They've become decadent. They've become disgusting. Look at this nation, which was so great. And I have seen so many from other nations say this on Facebook and on in YouTube news places and stuff. They have said, you people are just, we used to look up to you, and now we don't anymore. We just say, what has become of you people? It's disgusting. We feel sorry for you.
Okay, I want to divert from this just a little and jump ahead.
Uh-huh.
And this will go right along with what you're saying. Go to Revelation 18.
Okay. Can I, before I say that, can I just jump ahead to verse 22 in 2 Chronicles 8?
Well, sure.
It says, then they will answer.
Yeah, go ahead.
Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt and embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, he has brought all this calamity on them.
And that's what we're doing. The churches are doing this. You see the problem? The church is doing this.
Yes. Okay, now where did you want me to go in Revelation?
I want to fast forward to Revelation chapter 18, because you just said other countries are looking at us. How could this happen? Now, I'm not saying this is the United States, but it could be. I want you to read verse 14 through. I want you to read 14 through 18, and you'll get the picture, the analogy.
Okay. And the fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you. And all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, who became rich by her, will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing, and every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? And they threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city, in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she is made desolate.
You see, that's saying exactly what you see where that, no, that's it. You see exactly that's what's what you, gives credulence to what you said?
Yes.
Honestly, that the other countries, there's a statement, we used to be the other countries' Uncle Sam, now we're Uncle Sap.
Yeah.
Yes. The other countries see it. They don't understand how a nation that fueled their economy for years. Just think of what we've meant to the auto industry in Japan, what we've meant to the oil, petroleum and oil industries in the Arab nations.
Yes.
And they're looking at us, and they're looking at us saying, how could you people be doing what you're doing? I only had you read that Revelation because that's actually going to be said someday of someone. It's either symbolic of the system or it's symbolic of the system plus a nation. I happen to think it could be plus a nation. It's definitely symbolic of the system, of the world system that's going to collapse.
Yeah.
I want to put shoes to the words you're saying.
Yes. Yeah, but it's just so very sad that, you know, we were a great nation. We really truly were considered the greatest nation of the world. And now we are collapsing. We are collapsing quickly.
The other nations know it.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Now they also are in for judgment. So where does 1 Peter 4:17 say judgment will begin? At the house of God. And we're going through it right now, folks. These battles are going on between the Methodist denominations, the Baptists, their beliefs in homosexuals leading conventions. I mean, this is, folks, the church is being judged.
Yes.
Think I'm an idiot, that's fine, and maybe I am, but I want you to read. That's why I want you to read the verses we're giving you. I want it to go beyond my thought because I don't get involved in – I am not a person who follows the news the way I should. But I am following what this is saying, folks, and I'm part of the problem. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is definitely written to me. The book of Joshua, chapter 4:20-24. I did not take the time with my kids or grandkids to do that. I did not do it. This is written to me. Therefore, when it says, if my people call by my name, I can't be stupid enough to not realize it doesn't include me. God's saying, Carl, you've got to get on board and don't just be religious.
Yeah, it's never too late. It's never too late.
That is the key, and that's where I brought your story up about your grandkids. It's never too late to start.
As long as they're still living, it's never too late for us to witness to our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. As long as we still breathe and they still breathe, it is never
Amen.
Too late.
Yep. All right, we're going to go down to Judges chapter 3.
Yeah.
And we're going to read now. Again, God's mercy. Start and go 5 through 9.
So the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons, and they served their gods. Are we not doing that now?
Raven, we are.
We certainly are. We certainly are.
We're telling churches from headquarters, if you do not go along with our dictates on gay marriage and gay pastors, we're going to cut your money off.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and Asherahs. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia.
I have no clue.
And the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. Let me stop a second here, Carl, because I want to bring something up. When we look back at that verse 6, you and I know someone. You and I know someone who is going through something like this right now. It came up in a Bible study recently. And she, this person, is saying, I will not cave. Even though everyone else in her family is saying, how dare you not go to this person's wedding. How dare you not support this person's wedding?
I was trying to figure out what you're talking about.
Yep. How dare you not support this person's wedding? You know, and she's saying she is the only one, and other people in the family are Christians or claim to be Christians, and she is saying, I cannot support this. They are the ones,
they're torchbearers, supposedly.
Yes. But they're giving their daughter, you know, to be their wives, the wives of other gods. And she is saying, I cannot do it. And she's standing up to this, and she is being ridiculed. She's being, laughed
by
at.
Her
she's
Christian
being,
family. By
yes,
her Christian she's, family.
Yes, she's going through trials and troubles and tribulations and being put down and laughed at. And I want to tell you that I have to give it to her for saying, I will not turn against my God. I will not turn against God because I know what is right. And this is what we're supposed to do. She cannot walk in there and bless that wedding. She cannot walk in there and say, yes, I agree with this. And good. This is what, my daughter a few years ago, her husband said, you know, well, why can't you just go to the wedding? You know, I mean, you may not agree with it, but, and my daughter said, no, I cannot walk. I cannot go to that wedding when God says it's wrong. And this is what we're supposed to do. God says no. And I don't care how much you're ridiculed by everyone else around us, God will bless you for saying, no, I have to stand. I have to stand up for Christ. I have to stand up for God, no matter what everyone else around me, no matter what the world says, I have to do what's right. And this man that was at your meeting today, Carl, you know, he needs to do what he knows is right. He's crying because God is saying to him, no, this is wrong. And I'm going to pray for this man. I don't know what his name is, Carl, but I'm going to pray for him that he will continue to say no.
Larry.
All right. I'm going to pray for him because he needs to stand up and he needs to walk away from that filthy church. And I don't care what anybody says. It is now a filthy church.
He knows it, but it's tearing his guts out.
Well, of course it is. But he's going to have to walk away from it. The church is filthy.
You're right.
It's filthy. You know, it has been made filthy by Satan. I'm just going to say it straight out there. And we must, we must stand up to it. We have to.
Well, folks, if we don't, it's only going to get worse. And it's going to get worse till another nation takes this country over. How do you think the world is going to feel when they look at the United States since the 50s, the late 40s?
Yeah.
How they have been the leader in everything. And now we're going to be overcome by what we call growing up a third world country?
Yeah.
It's coming, folks. Yeah. It's coming.
Well, look what verse 8 said. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. That's what's
going
to happen to us if we don't stand up.
Keep going. Keep going.
Yeah. Let's see. What was the last one I read? Was it verse 8?
Verse 8.
I think it was.
That's a good one. That's
okay.
What I wanted you to
Therefore
say.
Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. It's going to be hot against us if we don't stand up. And he sold them into the hand of Cushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan. That the children of Israel served Cushan Rishathaim 8 years. He's
going to
sell us into
slavery.
Yes.
But now I want to butt after that. Read 9, 10, and 11.
Yes. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel who delivered them. Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed over Cushan Rishathaim. If we cry out to the Lord, will we or won't we?
That is the key.
Yeah.
But look at this. God will still have mercy. Now, remember, it says here that they had rest for 40 years. They went through 9 of these apostasies. The 10th time God said, give them a king, it's over. How long before it's over for the United States of America?
Right.
Now,
right.
This, again, God gave them 40 years. But let's look what happened now in verse 12. After 40 years, this is what happened in the United States.
And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord strengthened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord.
Now
then
remember,
he gathered
the children of Israel, hold on. The children of Israel, folks, was the church at that time. Go ahead.
Then he gathered to himself the people of Ammon, and Amalek went and defeated Israel and took possession of the city of palms. So the children of Israel served Eglon, king of Moab, 18 years.
18 years.
And when the children... And when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for them, Ehud, the king, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, a left-handed man. By him, the children of Israel sent tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now, Ehud made himself a dagger. It was double-edged and a cubit in length, and fastened it under his clothes on his right thigh. So he brought the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now, Eglon was a very fat man, and when he had finished presenting the tribute, he sent away the people who had carried the tribute. But he himself turned back from the stone images that were at Gilgal and said, I have a secret message for you, O king. He said, keep silence. And all who attended him went out from him. And Ehud came to him. Now he was sitting upstairs in his cool private chamber. Then Ehud said, I have a message from God for you. So he arose from his seat. Then Ehud reached with his left hand, took the dagger from his right thigh, and thrust it into his belly. Even the hilt went in after the blade, and the fat closed over the blade, for he did not draw the dagger out of his belly, and his entrails came out. Then Ehud went out through the porch and shut the doors of the upper room behind him and locked them. When he had gone out, Eglon's servants came to look, and to their surprise, the doors of the upper room were locked. So they said, he is probably attending to his needs in the cool chamber. So they waited till they were embarrassed, and still he had not opened the door of the upper room. And therefore, they took the key and opened them, and there was their master fallen dead on the floor. But Ehud escaped while they delayed and passed beyond the stone images and escaped to Sirah. And it happened when he arrived that he blew the trumpet in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mountains, and he led them. Then he said to them, follow me, for the Lord has delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hands. So they went down after them, after him, seized the fords of the Jordan leading to Moab, and did not allow anyone to cross over. And at that time, they killed about 10,000 men of Moab, all stout men of valor. Not a man escaped. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest for 80 years.
Isn't that something? They had rest for a period of time, and then they were under servitude for what, 18 years or so? Now, again, they repented, God gave them. But this is one of nine times every time after God gave them rest here for 80 years.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes.
31.
After him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, who killed 600 men of the Philistines with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel.
Now, we're going to pick up next week with chapter 4. We're going to see we're only two into this. In 450 years, the church repeated their error nine times. How much longer is God going to put up with us? I don't know. When is he going to do like he did in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 22? They want a king, let them have it, and they're going to choke to death on it. I don't. Yeah. I can't answer it. All I'm saying is we got to look to ourselves. Okay,
yeah.
This should be. We should be on target with this. There's nothing difficult. Why don't we go ahead, Raven, and say a final prayer? Because we got less than a minute before we're interrupting somebody else's program. But go ahead.
All right. Father, we're so thankful that you use not just the Old Testament, or not just the New Testament, but the Old Testament to show us that we are falling apart in our ways. We're quite a mess here. This country is following after Baal. We are allowing Satan to lead us into such depths of depravity that we may never come out of it. But you show us in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that if we will truly humble ourselves and pray and allow you to lead us out, only you, that we can be turned around as a country, that you can heal our land, but it's only through you. We must follow Christ. We must pick up our cross daily and follow him. Father, we repent for everything that we have done, for allowing our churches, our local churches, our denominations, with their traditions, to turn us away from the truth.
Amen.
We must be reading our Bible. We must be following the Word. We must be in prayer. And when we have pastors, we have churches, we have denominations that are turning us away from you, from the church, we must rise up and say, no, we must walk away from those who will violate the true word of God. We must realize that it is only your truth that will set us free. Allow us, Lord, to truly repent. Convict us by the Holy Spirit and the word of God. In Christ's name, amen.
All right, Raven, I got to tell you, I was looking at the time with the wrong eye. We still got 7 minutes. So go to chapter 3 of Judges and read verse 30 again. How long on the second apostasy when they repented did God give them the land of milk and honey and overflowing with grapes so big they couldn't carry them?
So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest for 80 years.
Okay, now, here again, we've gone through two apostasies. Probably
yes.
130 years total. Let's go to chapter
yes.
4. Now, they had 80 years of peace, but what happened? Same thing that's happening in the good old U.S. of A. The church is collapsing. Go ahead.
When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord.
Folks, we're the same issue, the same issue, the same issue. And the children of Israel represent the church. It just so happened
yeah.
in those days, the church, the religion was, as still it is with Islam and it is with Israel, the religion is the politics, basically. And that's a very
yeah.
general statement. All right, let's keep
yeah.
going. Let's go 2, 3, and 4.
So
you
the Lord sold them.
God? Yeah, he sold them.
So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth, Hagoyim. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he harshly oppressed the children of Israel.
Do you see why in the
harshly
book of Judges
oppressed.
It not, do you see why Judges says that they had seven servitudes? It wasn't only
yes.
that they had problems and physical loss and tremendous loss of life. They were slaves, but they did not care. They only cared until the monkey was off their back, and then they went back to worshiping false gods intentionally. We're doing that in the
yes.
church. Money is our number one false god, in my opinion.
Yes.
All right?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, the children were repenting again. Read 4 and 5.
Now Deborah, a prophetess. Yes. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment.
Keep going.
Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor? Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun, and against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, and with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand. And Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. So
now
she said,
what's good
I will.
About this? Hold on. This guy was trusting in God's judge, which was Deborah. This is the fact, folks, where we have the problem. We're not willing to trust in God's people who are given a scripture. We want man to rule the churches.
Yes.
Take all this.
Yes.
We see it happening every day in this country, both in the church and in the government, the morality.
Yes. Yes. All right. So she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. And he went up with 10,000 men under his command, and Deborah went up with him. Now, Heber the Kenite of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had separated himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent near the terebinth tree at Zanaim, which is beside Kadesh. And they reported to Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor. So Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him, from Harosheth-Hagoyim to the river Kishon. Then Deborah said to Barak, up, for this day, this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots. Okay.
Yep. Keep going. One more verse.
But Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Harosheth-Hagoyim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left.
Now remember this Sisera. He said, I would only go to war if you'll go with me, which means he was trusting in Deborah, the judge of the lady of God that was giving him God's words. I want you to show where God is infinitely mercy for 450 years, infinite mercy. But folks, he will get to a point where he will say the party is over. He did that in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 22.
Yes.
The party is over.
Yep.
Okay, we're gonna go next week. We'll start with verse 16, but I hope everybody is seeing the flow here, which is exactly what's happening to the church in this country, and the consequences to the nation are the same thing. Okay,
amen.
We're now into the other people's time, so Raven, I'm gonna sign off. Thank you. I'm gonna cut your call off and end the episode.
All right.
Talk to you next week.
We'll talk to you. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.